Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And ABC always News. Streaming on the I'm Civic Derek Media Dennis. App.
Growing tension in the Middle East as the Israel-Hamas death toll climbs. More than 4,000 have died in Israel and Gaza. President Biden in Israel today in a show of solidarity. He met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and families of victims, vowing more military aid. Netanyahu says Israel was not responsible for the civilian deaths caused by the blast at a hospital in Gaza yesterday, and he says Israel will be careful in its next phase.
This will be a different kind of war because Hamas is a different kind of enemy. While Israel seeks to minimize civilian casualties, Hamas seeks to maximize civilian casualties.
President Biden says U.S. intelligence shows an errant rocket fired by Palestinian militants. The president also announced Israel and Egypt will work together to allow some humanitarian aid into Gaza. On Capitol Hill, there's still no Speaker of the House. Republican Congressman Jim Jordan failed a second time to garner enough votes to take the gavel. This is ABC News. As the war between Israel and Hamas intensifies, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee holding a nomination hearing to seat a U.S. ambassador to Israel. The nominee is Jacob Lew, who served as Treasury Secretary during the Obama administration.
Jacob Lew assured lawmakers that if he gets the job as U.S. ambassador to Israel, he would ensure that Israel gets what it needs to defend itself amid its war with Hamas, adding that he would work towards peace in the region and prioritize strengthening diplomatic ties between the U.S. and Israel. Three demonstrators supporting Palestinians were escorted out of the hearing for their outburst.
Our families are dying! We need a ceasefire now!
Another protester shouted that the U.S. should stop sending aid to Israel. Faith Abube, ABC News, Washington.
New York City's mayor doesn't speak Mandarin or Yiddish, but robocalls using artificial intelligence makes it seem like he's fluent. The mayor announcing his voice is being contorted into those languages to promote city hiring events. I'm Derek Dennis, ABC News.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwaba. Here's what you need to know. A suspect in a homicide investigation has died while in police custody. Eric Von Sayak was suspected of foul play after police officials found him in the same room with his deceased wife on Saturday evening at their Kakana home. 45-year-old Jessica Von Sayak had allegedly suffered substantial traumatic injuries when police discovered her body during a routine welfare check. Authorities say Eric was uncooperative and acted erratically. He was tased by a Kakana officer and an Outagamie sheriff's deputy. He had a medical episode immediately after. Police officials say he died while at the hospital within the last couple days. Average gas prices in northeast Wisconsin are about $3.20 a gallon. That's 28 cents lower than the national average. Time for a road trip. Anyone else having Powerball letdown? Tonight's paltry jackpot is only $35 million. Pete Schwaba, WGBW 97.9 News.
Trunk or treat, I'm going trunk or treating.
Terry, you got to be talking about one of the Halloween events coming up at both Green Bay area YMCAs, Saturday, October 28th. It's fun for the whole family and includes games, a costume contest, and of course, Halloween treats, my favorite.
Oh, and Todd, it's happening at the East Side YMCA from 1 to 4, then the West Side YMCA from 4 to 7. But the trunk or treat, well, that one's only on the East Side between 1 and 2. Decorate your car and the kids get treats. From your trunk.
Sounds like a lot of fun, and it's all free. Would you rather help out? You can volunteer for any of the Halloween events on Saturday, October 28th at both Green Bay YMCAs.
Find all the information at greenbayymca.org. greenbayymca.org. Keeping you connected to your community, the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 1590 AM, 97.9 FM, and the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW program. Is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at Interscholastic Athletic Events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
A no-holds-barred political conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
Gerrymandering is not democracy. It's commie government. It's fake government. You have somebody that gets 48% of the vote and they get 67% of the seats. That is not democracy. It's fake democracy. It's the appearance of law without the reality or the actuality of law.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Three, two, one. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, though. Wednesday, day after edition. Dom, how you feeling, fella?
Happy, happy, happy hump day to you, Crudy. Feeling good, man. Feeling fine. Thank you, Nate, for yesterday. Thank you for being here today, our fair audience as well. Happy hump day to us all.
Dom, let's jump right into the headlines. You know, the Kenneth Cheesebro, the trial's going to start next week. And the judge, there was a question about whether or not all the charges might be dismissed. That ain't happening. So it's game on time, right? Game on time. And oh, by the way, we should tell you, we got a fine guest joining us, the new executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, Nick Ramos. He was at the party last night. He'll be here on the air with us about 4:30. So make sure you stick around for Nick. But here's the lead. New York Times reporting. Trump lawyer acknowledged political agenda in election suit email show. This headline, not nearly as galling as you're about to be when we get into the meat of this reporting. The subheadline, Kenneth Cheesebro said that even long shot litigation would hold political advantages, undercutting assertions that Donald J. Trump's lawyers were simply providing legal advice and challenging the 2020 results. Maggie Haberman, Luke Broadwater reporting. December 24, 2020, Kenneth Cheesebro and other lawyers fighting to reverse President Donald J. Trump's election defeat were debating whether to file litigation contesting Biden's victory in Wisconsin, a key swing state. Oh, it's always key here, Dom. Cheesebro argued, they always call him Mr. Cheesebro, argued that there was little doubt that the litigation would fail in court. He put the odds of winning at 1%.
You're saying there's a chance.
As Mr. Trump continued to push his baseless claims of widespread fraud, according to emails reviewed by the New York Times. But the relevant analysis, air quotes, Mr. Cheesebro argued, is political. The emails have new significance because Cheesebro is scheduled to be one of the first two of Mr. Trump's 18 co-defendants to go to trial this month on charges brought by the district attorney's office in Fulton County, Georgia. Now, the indictment accuses Cheesebro of conspiring to create slates of so-called fake electors pledged to Mr. Trump in several states that Mr. Biden has won. Cheesebro's lawyers have argued that his work was shielded by the First Amendment, and that he, and here's a quote, acted within his capacity as a lawyer. Maybe he shouldn't be a lawyer. They have called for his case to be dismissed, saying he was merely, and here's again a quote, researching and finding precedents in order to form a legal opinion, which was then supplied to his client, the Trump campaign. Scott Grubman, a lawyer for Mr. Cheesebro, said lawyers often argue for positions that are not widely held. For example, any lawyer who has ever filed a pleading challenging existing Supreme Court precedent falls within this category. Maybe a long shot, but far from criminal. In fact, it's how the law changes over time. Oh, they're trying to change some laws, Dom. A little bit more here, and then maybe you can help. Mr. Trump has also signaled that one of his possible defenses is that he was simply acting on the advice of his lawyers, doing what the lawyers told him like he always does, right, Dom? But Cheesebro's emails could undercut any effort to show that lawyers were focused solely on legal strategies rather than considering just the law and the facts of the case. Mr. Cheesebro made clear he was considering politics and was well aware of how the Trump campaign's legal filings could be used as ammunition for Republicans' efforts to overturn the results when Congress meant to certify the election, you know, now I'm on January 6, 2021.
Here is a quote from Cheesebro in the email chain. Just getting this on file means that on January 6th, the court will either have ruled on the merits or, vastly more likely, will have appeared to dodge again. He added that a lack of action by the Supreme Court would feed, quote, the impression that the courts lack the courage to fairly and timely consider these complaints and justifying a political argument on January 6th that none of the electoral votes from the states with regard to which the judicial process has failed should be counted. Again, ammunition. Of the chances of success, Cheesebro estimated the odds the court would grant effective relief before January 6th. I'd say only 1%, but he wrote his filing has possible political value. Cheesebro wrote that it was, quote, hard to have enormous optimism about what will happen on January 6th, but a lot can happen in the 13 days left until then. And I think having as many states under review, both judicially and in-state legislatures as possible, is ideal. And it gets worse. He said the legal filings could produce a political payoff to bolster the argument that there should at least be extended debate in Congress about election irregularities in each state. He added, the public should come away from this believing that the election in Wisconsin was likely rigged and stolen by Biden and Harris, who were not legitimately elected.
Dominic, you got sort of hot under the collar the other day. We reviewed the legal filings on Monday of Robin Voss, Devin LeMahieu, and Chris Kapinga, the legislative leaders, the Republicans here in the state of Wisconsin. And I think the part that kind of had you a little hot and bothered was the fact they were lying through their teeth to the public, to the press, right up until they had to make a legal filing. Well, Dom, how's this Cheesebro legal filing? Because this was offered, and this is going to undercut his defense, right? But how's this one make you feel, Dom?
It's more of the same, Crudy. It's these Republicans using the courts for political purposes. I want to just repeat this, and we'll wrap it up. Again, Maggie Haberman, the New York Times. Cheesebro said the filings could produce a political payoff to bolster the argument. There should at least be extended debate in Congress about election irregularities in each state, adding that the public should come away from this believing the election in Wisconsin was likely rigged and stolen by Biden and Harris, who were not legitimately elected. And what do we hear from here?
Rigged.
Politicians, the Republicans here in the state of Wisconsin. Oh, election irregularities, right? I mean, I still get emails from the hot folks, man. You know what I'm saying? That's all over. Why do we have, we don't have faith in the elections and we got to do this, we got to do that because people don't have faith in the elections. When the guys like Cheesebro and those very same politicians knew that this is bunk, man. And Trump can no longer simply say he was relying on the advice of his attorneys. A little bit more here. Responding to the email chain was John Eastman.
Who, Dom?
Conservative lawyer. John Eastman. You know, John Eastman.
John Eastman's been in the state of Wisconsin as recently as, 2022? Trying to overturn the validity of the election from 2020. And at that time, Robin Voss took the meeting, right, Dom?
He sure did, Crudy. Responding to the email chain was Eastman, the conservative lawyer who has also been charged in the Georgia election case. Eastman said he believed the legal arguments were rock solid, but the odds of success were not based on the legal merits, but an assessment of the judges' spines. And I understand that there is a heated fight underway. Cheeseboro responded in his email chain, "I particularly agree that getting this on file gives more ammo to the justices fighting for the court to intervene. I think the odds of action before January 6th will become more favorable if justices start to fear that there will be wild chaos on January 6th unless they rule by then either way." Wow. Trump posted to Twitter days before.
It'd be
first followers to come to the January 6th told him it will be wild, Crudy. It'll be wild.
I mean, it'd be a shame if your country burnt down between now and January 6th if the U.S. Supreme Court doesn't find the way we want them to, wouldn't it?
Yeah, forget about it. You know, a friend of ours.
I mean, this plot has thickened down.
Reviewed by the New York Times suggests that Cheeseboro, a quiet Harvard Law School law graduate from Wisconsin, was in the crowd outside the Capitol on January 6th. He spent part of the day closely following conspiracy theorist Alex Jones, who helped lead a mob toward the building. Cheeseboro. Of course, it's political ammunition. I mean, the point of this is to walk away so the folks in Wisconsin think that this was stolen, that they got robbed. This, you know, Biden and Harris, they stole it from him. Donald Trump is rightly your president. And they still believe this to this day. I mean, there is a residual from this lie.
Dom, if you'll recall earlier stories of Cheeseboro found him divorcing his wife, Emily Stevens, a physician who later went to law school and occasionally wrote co-briefs with him. And do you recall, Dom, what changed the tenor of Cheeseboro's life?
I think he made a bunch of money on crypto.
He's a crypto bro.
Traded her in for a model.
A newer model. Like. A shiny new model. A 20-year-old, Dom, if I recall. And this Cheeseboro guy, my understanding, court still scheduled on the 23rd. Do you think a week from now, Dom, we'll be talking about the Cheeseboro trial?
I absolutely hope so. I mean, yeah. Are you kidding me? Yes, please. May we please address this? Can we go down this road, please? Yes. Yes.
You know, I'll be in D.C. next Wednesday and Thursday. Now I'm taking the Fall in Love Tour 2023 to a new hometown. Going to the District of Columbia next week. Wish you were coming with, but I'll party without you, Dom. You know, political party. You know how we do it around here.
Tell Bill I said, hey, I hope you hook up.
Bill Press, looking forward to making his company also. Got some plans with Mark Pocan, my congressman. We're going to hang out as well. I'll bring you back some details, Dom. I'm sure I'll have a few stories from D.C., from the swamp.
Right.
Know where I'm staying? Nice hotel right on DuPont Circle. Remember
Before they're giving away joints when we were there last time,
right? Free joints the day of the Trump inauguration. And you always kind of let me down, Dom. You didn't smoke it when you were supposed to. 4 minutes and 20 seconds into Trump's inauguration speech. We literally had the best seats in the house of all the stoners, those that received the free joints. And that only means you, because you know, I wasn't going to skip the 4-block-long line like you chose to do.
I didn't do it on purpose.
But at 4 minutes and 20 seconds into the Trump inaugural speech, we looked back at what he described as the biggest crowd ever, and we looked for puffs of smoke. The telltale sign that others were following suit, Dom, but apparently no one did it. But this Cheeseboro guy, I don't like him. These Republicans, they piss me off a lot lately. Come back. More Devil's Advocates.
That guy.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party? You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit. and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Scattered rain showers likely tonight, otherwise overcast skies. Lows around 50, southerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. High temperatures reach up to 59 tomorrow. Scattered rain showers likely. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow night. Lows around 45, overcast skies. High temperatures reach up to 56 Friday with a chance for scattered rain showers. 51 overcast skies Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 63.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning.
And the talk of Green Bay all day long.
1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You're welcome to join us on the lines. Offer your opinions, your thoughts at 844-967-2789.
Dom, we've got to acknowledge the party that occurred yesterday. Nearly epic in scope. It was quite a rager. I got to tell you, it's got to go down in one of our top 3 to 5 parties ever, Dom, as the Devil's Advocates. We've been partying for a long time, so this was a damn good party. I hope you were there. If you missed it, you missed out, because it was a good time. I want to acknowledge some of the people, and there were so many people there, I can't acknowledge them all, but a couple I've got to name. Of course, the proprietor, Hawk. We were at the Jade Monkey Cocktail Lounge on Cottage Grove Road, Madison, Wisconsin. The fine proprietor, Hawk. You know, he took care of our tab last night, Don.
I know, he's so nice.
He was. And, you know, the only complaint I would have, Hawk, because you're always a gracious host. Next time, the Devil's Advocates tell you they're coming down to party. And I don't care if it's a Tuesday night in October, just some rando Tuesday night. Dude, put on some extra staff. That poor girl was humping all night long at the bar last night.
Did a hell of a job.
She barely kept up. And I mean, she was running all night long because Devil's Advocate's got lots of friends, lots of partying people. I saw some sponsor types. Our friend Al Bachman from Bachman Construction. It's been too long. I saw Gordy Kopke from Kopke's Greenhouses. I saw Jesse from Solidarity Realty, where, of course, I'm in the Solidarity Realty studios as we speak right now. I also saw and like to acknowledge our fine guests, Dom. They included my county executive, Dane County exec, Joe Parisi. Joe's retiring. He's on the way out. More time with family. Retiring, he claims. We'll see. Maybe he's, you know, going to take a run at talk radio or something, Dom.
I mean, that qualifies him to do everything.
And I would also like to acknowledge our own Civic Media host, the show that comes after ours, Maggie Dawn. Great to see her. Great to see Anya and Ben Wickler, the Democratic Party chair of the great state of Wisconsin. And oh yeah, one other fine guest, Appellate Court Judge Chris Taylor. And I'd just like to throw this out there. She didn't give me any sort of insights, but I'm just going to start speculating. Start a draft, if you will, Dom. Chris Taylor for Wisconsin Supreme Court. And I got to tell you, I looked up the races coming up in the years to come, because this is one you got to be like the conservatives. You got to look out at the map. You got to look out at the future and say, what will the future bring? Well, I think it's going to bring a Chris Taylor candidacy. No special insights, but I just think she is the right candidate. And here's what I would point out. Ann Walsh Bradley, that's the good Bradley. July 31st of 2025, that's next spring, if she doesn't choose to run for re-election, she's 73 years old now, it's a 10-year term, but if Ann Walsh Bradley chooses not to run for re-election, well, guess what? We need you, Chris Taylor, right now. Break glass in case of emergency. I'd be breaking some glass. And if Ann Walsh Bradley runs again, I'd encourage her candidacy and I would support it. But that very next year, Dom, 2026 spring election, the bad Bradley's on the ballot. Rebecca Bradley.
You got that date on the calendar, huh, Crudy?
That would be an April election, and then the new justice would join the court on August 1st of 2026. That'd also be a fine job for current Wisconsin appellate court judge Chris Taylor.
Either one.
District court judge, state lawmaker, now an appellate court judge. I don't think there is any more prepared candidate in the state of Wisconsin than our friend Chris Taylor. So I'm just saying. When it's time to draft her, I'm going to start drafting her. We need her on that wall. We need her on that court. Sooner or later, Chris Taylor, I hope, will join the Wisconsin Supreme Court. I think that's where she ultimately belongs. And I was happy to hear. I know once upon a time when we talked to her when she was a state lawmaker, she'd considered, you know, roles like attorney general, running for AG at some point. But she seems far more, she seems very satisfied with this career tact in the courts, in the judiciary. And I would say, you know, this is a super talented human being. We want our best and our brightest to rise up in politics and in the courts. Well, they don't get much better than Chris Taylor. But here's some other attendees. There were so many people at the party. Hassel, Annalise. Always great to see Annalise and Lisa Joe and Mark from the SAC brought me cookies. So did Lisa Joe. She brought you Kelly green M&Ms. Buddy, the green M&Ms, they're probably still at the bar.
Oh, what? Okay. Was that Lisa Joe brought the green mason jar?
Among other things, she brought a
mason jar full of green M&Ms. There's a lot of green in my world last night. Thank you, Lisa. I didn't even get one. I know
Jorge had a couple of handfuls.
I know you had a few handfuls. Yes. I don't know what happened, Lisa. Man.
Hassel sent me home with some fine alcohol. Yeah, I was a little nervous driving home last night between all the loose joints and the alcohol in the back. You know, I felt like I should take the back roads.
We had what? Random Dave came around, man.
Oh, there were so many people that came around.
Katie as well. We wrapped the night up. Yeah, it was just so much fun.
Let me point out one other person that came around. Currently banned from the airwave, CJ showed up at the party last night. And I photographed CJ out by the back fence at the Jade Monkey. And we're going to have a little captioning contest. I've put his photograph up on the Devil's Advocates Facebook page. If you've never joined or liked or followed us, today would be an excellent day. Because I need you to caption the photo of CJ on the Devil's Advocates Facebook page. Now, he showed up at the party and we made it very clear. You know, showing up at the party doesn't mean you're not banned from the airways for the entire pumpkin spice month of October. You are. But I assured him, if he sat in the penalty box, if he did his purgatory month, there would be some day that we would welcome him back to the airwaves with a very short leash. And I said, most important part is
nice, man.
You got to follow the topics we're talking about, man. You can't just go random trolling Joe Biden each and every day. It gets very tedious. That's why we banned you for the month of October. But good to see you at the party.
Yes. Let me just say it was great to see everyone. Sorry, I know I forget names sometimes. Jim, Kurt, and I know there's some folks there that I didn't get enough time with. So thank you everybody for coming out. I didn't get enough time with Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. So let's get him in next, folks. We are the Devil's Advocates. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News. I'm Derek Dennis. Growing tension in the Middle East as the Israel-Hamas death toll climbs. More than 4,000 have died in Israel and Gaza. President Biden in Israel today in a show of solidarity. He met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and families of victims, vowing more military aid. Netanyahu says Israel was not responsible for the civilian deaths caused by the blast at a hospital in Gaza yesterday, and he says Israel will be careful in its next phase.
This will be a different kind of war because Hamas is a different kind of enemy. While Israel seeks to minimize civilian casualties, Hamas seeks to maximize civilian casualties.
President Biden says U.S. intelligence shows an errant rocket fired by Palestinian militants. The president also announced Israel and Egypt will work together to allow some humanitarian aid into Gaza. On Capitol Hill, there's still no Speaker of the House. Republican Congressman Jim Jordan failed a second time to garner enough votes to take the gavel. This is ABC News.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwaba. Here's what you need to know.
A Fond du Lac County Sheriff canine deputy who was injured in the line of duty is up and walking. He was shot when a sheriff's deputy and a suspect exchanged gunfire Saturday night. The dog, Iroh, has the help of Cast, but is much further along than expected.
It turns out the Great Pumpkin does exist. Civic Media's James Kelly.
There's a new state record for the largest pumpkin ever grown in the state of Wisconsin. This past weekend, Brian Mateowitz unveiled the pumpkin he grew in Eau Claire, weighing in at a whopping 2,420 pounds. The oversized fruit is now the heaviest recorded pumpkin in Wisconsin state history. Mateowitz told WQOW that even he was surprised by the weight of the pumpkin, saying he initially thought he misread the scale and that it was 400 pounds lighter. For Civic